For the month of May, we're talking an awful lot of ACC football today. But since we're doing so, might as well welcome in the head coach of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, Dave Clawson, who's kind enough to be here with us. The last time I saw you, in the public space at least, was watching on during Wake Forest's graduation. Really cool deal in the football stadium at night. They had a ton of great speakers, and among them was your former quarterback and wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, who, of course, last year started the game at quarterback for the Denver Broncos. You were there to introduce that virtual speech that he gave. So let's start here. What's your favorite part about the Kendall Hinton story? What message did you want people to take away from him?
Well, I just think the whole aspect of never giving up on yourself, and that if you're well-intended and you have a good heart, Kendall made a number of mistakes when he was here, and things didn't always go his way, and he got injured and had setbacks. And at times, I'm sure he was very discouraged, but he never gave up on himself. He never gave up on our program. And for him to have the senior year he did, which led to him getting invited to the Denver Broncos, which led to him starting the game at quarterback, he made a series of maybe not good decisions at times during his career here, but his whole comeback and kind of redemption story came from making a series of really good decisions. And I'm just extremely proud of Kendall, like I am many of our players. But for him to do what he did last year, and if you watch his graduation speech, it was really good. To think that Kendall Hinton would be speaking with Condoleezza Rice and Pete Buttigieg. And I'm biased. I thought his speech was as good as any of them. I thought he did a wonderful job and made us all proud.
I can second that. You can find that on YouTube, I still think, today. Dave Clawson with us on WSGS Sports. We learned from new ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips recently that there's an ACC football subcommittee to address the league's concerns, and texting people around the league with football. They think this is a really good idea, and you're one of the coaches that are on that subcommittee. Could you share an example of one of the issues that's important to you that's been discussed thus far?
Well, those conversations are somewhat confidential. So I'm the chairman of the ACC head coaches this year, which basically means that we rotate, and this is a year that I run the meetings, and that's why I'm on the subcommittee. But what I really appreciate about Jim Phillips is he's really he's listened to us. He gives us a voice. He's listening to our concerns. And I think sometimes as coaches we have these concerns, and we'd like to have an audience with the athletic directors that we're not just saying what we want, but why we feel it's important and how we think it can make ACC football better. And the subcommittee basically gives us a vehicle to do that. There's three head coaches, Pat Narduzzi, Dabo Sweeney, and myself. And then there's, three or four ADs and some people from the conference office. And we bring up issues, or the ADs bring up issues, or the conference office brings up issues. And we're able to have an athletic director's perspective on it and a football coach's perspective on it. And at times they're similar perspectives, and at times those perspectives couldn't be more different. And I just think it's really helpful that we're getting to understand how people view different issues. And our end goal is the same. We want to make ACC football, the best Power 5 conference in the country. And I think there's a realization that we need to do things to achieve that goal, but we certainly believe it's doable, and I think under Jim Phillips' leadership, we'll get there.
Dave Clawson with us here on WSJS Sports. Wake Forest announced yesterday that it's planning for 100% capacity, or this would have been 2 days ago, 100% capacity for football games in the fall, especially after a year without packed stadiums. From a coach's perspective, in what area of the game does home field advantage impact what happens most?
I mean, it's hard to say one thing, Josh. I just think when you're coming out of the locker room and you're in that tunnel and the motorcycle's going, and you're about to take the field, it's a big difference for the psyche of your football team when you're staring at a packed stadium compared to when you're looking at a completely empty stands. So much of football is emotional and momentum and the noise and the excitement and the smells of college football. And we got to play last year, but we didn't have any of those elements. It felt very sterile. I'm glad we played. I think it was the right thing to do. I think it was the best thing for the players and everybody involved. But at times, quite frankly, it was joyless. All those things from the pregame meals to the Deacon walk to the smelling of the tailgating, it just didn't feel like a real season. And I think an announcement like that just gives everybody hope that, hey, we're not completely through this pandemic yet. There's still people getting sick, as you know way too well.
Yeah.
But hopefully we're starting to turn the corner, and it gives us reason for optimism and hope and something to look forward to.
I am optimistic. There's going to be a post-pandemic world coming sometime soon. I talk with business owners quite regularly. Many of them own restaurants, and a lot of them tell me there are several things that we had to do out of necessity during the pandemic that we're going to keep moving forward. Hey, like takeout, for example. We didn't do that before. Well, we're going to keep that post-pandemic. It's another revenue stream for us. As a coach, whether it be with the format of a practice or how you did fall camp leading into the season or something else I'm not even thinking of, is there anything that you had to do out of necessity last year that you feel, yeah, that might be a more useful way to do things post-pandemic?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Zoom meetings. You know, there's times I didn't like Zoom. I think there's times that there's an issue or a problem on your team or a motivational message that you want to deliver, that you want to be able to look guys in the eyes and see their faces and, you know, be able to shake their hand or pat them on the back. And I don't think Zoom meetings were good for that purpose. However, if it's a meeting that we're just giving them information, you know, we're giving them an itinerary, we're making an adjustment to the schedule, you know, maybe we don't need to get all 150 people in the same place. You know, there might be more efficient ways of doing that. And even for staff meetings, you know, we went from every time we'd meet, we'd get together in a room, and now every time we meet, we're in a Zoom. And I think there's times that if we all have to be down at the stadium at 11 o'clock for a recruiting function, and we want to meet at 9 o'clock and go over the recruits, you know what? Instead of coming in at nine, and being all together and then driving somewhere else, maybe we just get on a computer at home and I give everybody an extra half hour, 45 minutes with their family. So I think we'll end up being more efficient with it. Again, there's times that you want to see people in person, but when you're just giving information, sharing itineraries, you know, you don't need to make people travel and all get together to do those things. So, yes, I think there's a lot from the pandemic that we'll take forward that will make us more efficient.
Let's close with this. You'll appreciate it. The one venue I've always wanted to go to and never had a chance to was Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado. I'm going there in July to watch the Avett Brothers. Is there a venue Dave Clawson has never been to but has it circled? Man, I would love to see a show there.
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, I've been to a lot of venues. So, you know, I used to go up to Toronto all the time growing up on the Canadian border and saw some great concerts up there. Where I grew up in Youngstown, New York, there's this place in Lewiston, New York called Art Park. And it is just a fabulous outdoor theater. And they would get some pretty good concerts there. And again, it's a dot on the map, but at times it's hard to imagine a better venue than that. So I don't know. There are certain people I'd like to see. You know, I don't know if there's a certain venue I have to see them at. But I don't know. You got me thinking. Maybe next time I can answer that question a little better.
Who's the artist that was at the top of your head there that you haven't seen?
Well, I saw Peter Gabriel. I love Talking Heads, but I'm also a huge fan of Genesis, old Genesis, Peter Gabriel.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I even saw Phil Collins, you know, when he was in Charlotte a couple of years ago, and that was a great show. But you know, certainly Peter Gabriel is an act I'd like to see one more time in my lifetime. I just really, I just thought he was very unique. He was on the cutting edge in the early 80s. And I'd love to see him in concert one more time. And Genesis is getting back together. They're going on concert, which is exciting. Now, I don't think they'll ever all get together with Peter Gabriel. I think that probably won't happen. But, you know, the other three members of Genesis are getting together, and I'd love to see them if I could somehow.
Yeah, next time you join us, we'll make sure we bump back with some Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer, perhaps, and we'll see what venue you've been thinking about since we got you thinking. Dave, it's just good to hear from you. Congrats on getting a spring in and getting really a football season in last year. Hopes to things looking a lot normal this fall, and that we're able to pack 100% of the capacity at Truist Field this fall. Thank you so much for the time today.
Okay, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
You got it. That is Dave Clawson joining us here on WSJS Sports. Robert, got a great piece of sound from the Panthers Confidential YouTube video that they put out today. The Panthers, they have this show that they do. I think it's every month, but maybe it's every other month. I don't quite know for sure. But they let us know what it looked like when they traded away Teddy Bridgewater. Wink, wink. We'll get to that next on The Drive.